Hello, everybody. This is Kenny Evans and David Berry, and welcome to It's What You Keep. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you learn how to keep more of the money you earn so you can turn your income into lasting wealth. So today we're going to talk about where you are in your financial journey, like today. And for some people, that might not actually be a journey. They haven't thought of it like that, whether they like it or not. The days are clicking by, the years are clicking by, and it is a journey. So, you know, ultimately, we talk about, you know, financial freedom and the ability to do what you want on an everyday basis without worrying about money. I mean, the real, you know, a lot of people define that as the real definition of wealth. Some people define it as, you know, having a bunch of cars and a jet, but some people just, like, you know, would say it would be nice to not have to worry about bills. And if you're not there, you are definitely on a journey and you're trying to improve.
Right.
So in learning and trying to move forward in finding a direction, you want to know where you're starting. Where are you today? And so.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because I liken it onto, you know, getting directions from Siri. You know, first thing you do is you say, okay, well, let's find the place. Where do I want to be? And then it says, oh, yeah, I see you. That's where you want to go. I know where that is. The next thing it asks you is, where are you now? And then once you know where you are now, you can start the plan and the process of getting to where you need to be. But you first have to realize where you are.
Yeah. Without that, you know, you can find where you want to be. But if you don't know where you're starting, Siri can't help you. Google can't help you. There's really nothing you can do. But wait, it'll stare at you all night. So
that's right. And some of the rehab, you've got to admit that there's a problem. And admitting that there's a problem is along the line to finding out where you are. Once you start to see exactly what you're doing, now you can, you know, realize where you need to be and what you need to do to get out of that.
So, Dave, let's touch on that. What you said, realizing you have a problem. So, you know, I guess everybody's definition of, like you said, everybody's definition of comfort and wealth is different. What do you, when you say problem, what's your idea of a problem? What do you think a problem is to other people?
Right. So I think that, well, when you're talking about financial problems, you know, finances and money, you know, money is a tool. It's a tool to, you know, do the things that you want to do, you know, take care of bills, live the way you would like to live, the way you have to live. If you've got children or, you know, you're taking care of, you know, parents or siblings or things like that. But the money is a way to accomplish those types of things. Also, you can give as well. I mean, and if you cannot do those things, that is a problem. If you cannot keep up with bills or, you know, handle the things that you would like to do, well, that's a problem.
Okay. So what we're saying is, if you at any time have anxiety about not being able to do the things you want to do, that's a problem. And so, you know, if you are cool with sleeping on a piece of cardboard in the wintertime in Chicago, and you don't have anybody counting on you, or you do and you don't care, that could be, you could define it as, I don't have a problem. I don't have a financial problem because I'm not. Okay, so it's really about when you yourself feel like you're not able to do what you want to do. Then you have a problem, and then you need to start addressing it by determining where you want to be. And then importantly, as what we want to talk about today, is where are you right now? Okay. So,
that's right.
So great. So we understand you decided you have a problem. You decided you want to do something different. I won't even say better. I'll say different. What are some of the steps? What would you say is the first step to coming up with your financial, where you are today?
So I think that you have to realize where your money is going. So throughout the course of the day, we spend, and spend some more. And then at the end of the month, we realize that we are in a hole or not in a hole, but we don't really keep track of what we're spending our money on. And sometimes that can get away from you. I mean, there are apps now that actually I can't remember the name of that, but it actually looks at all of the things that you've signed up for.
Yeah.
Where they automatically take money out of your account.
I'm familiar with that.
And the app actually says, okay, well, you know, this is taking money out of your account. And you'll go, oh, wow, right. I didn't realize that. Well, it's the same thing with our daily finances. When we walk out of the house and go to the store or buy something online, even the small things, they add up. Once you, if you go up to your bank account, typically many banks will allow you to download your financial transactions, and then you can dump them into a spreadsheet. Once you start to add those things up, it's a lot. And then when you really want to do something or have to do something, you may not have that money in your account because you've slowly drained it down.
And I think you hit on something that's really important there, Dave. Because I think I liken it to, a lot of folks don't really want to look at where they are today, because it really means like looking at yourself in the mirror naked when you know you're out of shape, right? You don't really want to see that. I can remember actually, for a while, I would brush my teeth, and it dawned on me, I would brush my teeth with my eyes closed. And I never really thought about why, but it dawned on me it was because I didn't necessarily like what I was seeing in the mirror physically, right? And so I would I don't have to see it. I could just close my eyes. And I think people do that a lot with their finances. And you mentioned about, the small expenditures that add up. I think I may have told you a story a long time ago about a bar I used to visit, and I'm making whatever I make, and I go to this bar and spend $30 or $40. I'm like, oh, it's only $30 or $40. I mean, you're like literally justified.
Right, right.
But when you're going, four times a week, that's like $120 a week, which is like, what is that? $500 a month at the bar.
Right.
And, for a lot of people, that's a car note. For some people, it's rent. I don't know. I mean, it depends. But $500 a month is, what is it, $6,000 a year. And sure. I remember once doing what you said and looking at just one bar and saying, okay, because with the apps and bank accounts and online stuff and computer, you can easily do a sort and say, okay, what did I spend at this location, at this place over the year? And I did that once for a local watering hole, and Dave, it was north of $10,000 that I had spent.
Oh my goodness!
Hanging out at the bar, and I had been able to pay my rent, and I think that's a dangerous place too. So, like you say, if you can't do everything you want, but if you're able to, at least my rent's paid, and I ate ramen noodles, but I ate, or I'm saying if you, as long as you can, then that helps to hide it. But the reality is you can't quit your job, right? Or you can't go on, although your friends are going on some trip and you can't go on that trip because you can't afford it. So I think, like you said, being honest with yourself and taking a look at your financial picture, looking at the small expenditures. But so in that vein, what signs? So we've talked about not being able to do what you want to do. So going back to Bill, so is that what we're looking for? Is like, am I running out of, I've once heard the quote, I ran out of money before I ran out of month. Or it's like, I go, so is it,
right?
I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, what would you say is our real telltale signs for that?
Well, one of the things that's a telltale sign, there are things that you want to do, and then there are things that you have to do. Now, the things that you have to do are those financial commitments that you've made, your mortgage, rent, your car payment, things like that. And those things can creep up and up and up. And then there are things that you want to do, go on a vacation, buy this, buy that. Well, when you know that you can't do those things, and usually for a lot of people, not all, sometimes it comes down to, I can't afford the things that I have to do. A student loan payment, a mortgage or rent payments. I can't do those things, because really, a lot of times we do the things that we want to do and we put the things that we have to do back burner. And then when we find out that we can't do the things that we have to do, well, those things are, usually not an option for you.
Right. So what do you do in those cases? I mean, again, we're talking about current situation. And now you've drawn up a scenario where I can't do what I have been doing what I want to do. That's lost money. That's, you know, gone. Now I'm coming up to the things I have to do and I can't. How do you survive? I mean, you're breathing, right?
Yep.
We know too many people in this situation.
That's right. Yeah. So when you can't make ends meet, yeah, what do you do now? And there are lots of different, you know, options that people take, you know, that maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. I mean, one of them is borrowing from friends and family. Another one is, you know, getting one of these payday loans or, you know, credit cards, you know, all of those things that we get those things and we try to make ends meet with those things. And then sometimes we don't even realize that we're making those ends meet with these other things, these credit cards, which because we feel that it's just a part of life. Well, I'll just put it on this card. Well, the payments are not that much. And then once you find out that when you do this assessment of where you are now, what you're spending your money on, what money is coming in, you find out that, wow, I have been spending at a deficit for months or years. And this credit card has just been creeping up and up and up.
Right. So you found another method to further mask your real financial situation. Bye. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And then loans, you know, first you hear all kinds of quotes. I mean, we could quote you to death on a neither a borrower nor a lender be. You could talk about how, you know, the people tell you never be a cosigner for somebody, right? Because that's almost a guarantee that you're going to end up responsible for that loan. And then you've just damaged your own financial situation because of someone else's inability to or lack of willingness to manage their own finances. I mean, for a lot of folks, a loan is the easy way out. They look, you know, I notice one of the things that's interesting to me, when you do get your finances together, you get an awful lot of offers for loans in the mail, you know, and credit cards. People saying, hey, you know, we'll give you this much money, no interest for this long. They are trying to get their hooks into you. I don't know if you knew this, Dave, but do you know what they call people who pay their, you know, the credit card agencies call people who pay their bills off every month? Deadbeats.
What's that? Targets?
They call the people who pay off their money and pay their balances off every month. They call them deadbeat because they're not making any money off of them. They're not making interest off of them. So that deadbeats, where we have that connotation for folks who are doing what they're supposed to do, the credit card companies consider people who aren't putting money in their pocket a waste of time and money. But yet you look and see how many of these very shiny, colorful, glossy advertisements and letters and invitations you get for loans and credit cards. That business is not going out of business anytime soon. They look for like a 20% hit rate.
Right.
And they are all driving Porsches. Right. So yeah, the loans can mask, but for only so long. At some point, you either have something big that hits where your loaning capabilities don't cover it, or you just run out of headroom.
That's right. Because if you get a loan, well, the loan is only for so much. And if you're spending at a deficit, well, eventually that loan is going to run out and you have not really addressed the problem. Usually the problem isn't, well, I need more money. Usually it's you should stop spending money.
Right. I need to spend less money. I know you're familiar with Dave Ramsey and some of the things that he talks about. So I want to give him credit. I don't want to say anything that, you know, without giving him all due respect and credit. Great advisor in terms of how to, you know, pull in spending and control that. But they talk about, you know, stop digging the holes, you know, stop digging a hole. When you're spending on credit, you are digging a hole. And the first thing you got to do is stop that. And that means to curb the spending. Yes, you make enough. You just spend too much.
That's
really what it comes down to. Wherever you're making, if you have income, there is a lifestyle where you're making enough, but you are living a lifestyle where you're spending more than you make. And it's in the things you want to do. You mentioned something earlier that I wanted to maybe touch on just a little bit here. You mentioned needs versus wants. And I once had this, you know, being an engineer, a guy with an engineering background, I can be pretty objective sometimes and kind of absolute. And when talking about what you need, right, I think for some people, that varies. I can remember old Bill Cosby episode, when he was on the Huxtables, and his son, they were talking money. And he, you know, the son was like, he's like, well, you need to pay for this. And they had like some Monopoly money in their hand. And the son was like, you got to eat. I'll eat, you know, cheap food. And you got to have a car. You got to get around. I'll take the bus, you know. And so he was coming up with all these ways that he could save money. And his father then said something about clothes and took $100 from the son. The son gave him another $100, said, no, I'm going to look good. So in his mind, having good looking clothes was a necessity. Right. So
right,
it really
right.
amounts. So in your definition, what would you say are needs, just pure needs? Just, I mean, from the basic sense.
Sure. So, I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things that one has to do, and I have to do this as well, I have to determine what is my need and what is, like, of course, there are basic needs, food, shelter, clothing, that type of thing. And then now you get into what type of food do you want? High end, low end, medium. What type of clothing do you need or want to have? So those are the, now when you have a family, like I do, that's a little,
somebody else's definition
gets expanded,
of what you need.
You know, it's not, you know, basically what I need, it's what they need.
Right.
What my kids need, what my wife needs. You know, I have to, you know, look at all of those things. And sometimes based upon your income, you have to adjust those needs and wants to match or just match what you have or what just right, below right, what right, you have right, or right. what your income is. So you have to really match the needs with your income. Now you can adjust your needs or your wants by increasing your income. Or you can adjust your, you know, needs or desires based on your income.
And that's an interesting point. You say, you know, you can adjust your income. Well, that's very much easier said than done for most people, right? You can't decide to wake up one morning and say, okay, today I'm going to make this much money, because we'd all have hit the lottery a long time ago if that was the case. But it is a target, and a much easier target, I think, to adjust your spending. And so you get that same delta, right? Is like, when I say delta, I mean the difference between what you make and what you spend, and having some kind of semblance of a surplus, but at least being able to, at the end of whatever payment, or, you know, at the end of your round of bills, that if you've got a couple bucks left in your hand, that's a win, right? It's like I made it through all my bills and I didn't have to borrow any money. And honestly, the way that the credit card agencies and loan agencies, they really don't care. Don't think those people are not your friends, right? Mm-hmm. I look at them as the enemy. They are out to take more, as much of your money as they possibly can. I read a stat once, and I'll do some research for a future episode that we can discuss. But I read a stat once that talked about, you know, when they offer these loans, these guys play the long game. And when I say long, I mean, for them, it's nothing. A year is nothing. 18 months is nothing. And if they offer you a loan for 0% interest for 18 months, they said that the percentage of people who don't pay it off is like phenomenal. It's like that's where they make their money, because people borrow this money. And it's a lot. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, 5-6 figures that they'll loan you based on what your current credit situation is, based on what they know your income is. And they know all that stuff through the credit agencies. They will say, okay, we'll loan you $12,000 for a year at 0% interest, you know, and we'll leave off the part where they charge you 2, 3, 4%, 5% of that as a fee. So they're getting some money from you up front. We'll leave that off. But now you've got 12 grand that just popped into your account, and you're looking, you're saying, I got 360, I got a year to pay this off. Dave, $12,000 for a year means you got to come up with, if you're smart, $1,000 a month to pay back a 0% loan. And if you miss a payment, first of all, you can't miss any payments. They don't try, they don't tell you to pay $1,000. They make your minimum payment just like if you use a credit card. It's some number that if they were charging you interest, wouldn't even keep you positive. You would not erode your debt fast enough. When Obama was in office, they changed a lot of the credit laws, which made them start including information on the credit card statements that say, if you pay the minimum, it's going to take you this long to pay it off, and this is how much you're going to pay in interest, which is some multiple of what you borrow.
Right, right.
If you pay this much, and they give you a number that tells you when you can pay it off in 3 years, and you still pay a ton of interest, but you pay a lot less than if you. But the point is, a lot of these say, if you don't pay off this loan in this year, we're going to charge you interest from day one. Yes.
Oh.
Now, not all of them do that. Some of them say, we'll start charging you interest on the balance at the end of this period. But either way, your interest rate generally jumps from zero to 24%, 25%. That is a lot of money. That would get you put in prison 40 years ago, 50 years ago, charging somebody 25% interest is a lot of cash. And so loans just aren't the way to go. And looking at your current financial picture, be sure that if you are surviving, or if you are making ends meet through the process of credit cards and loans, you are not making ends meet. You are digging a deeper and deeper hole that is going to be harder and harder to get out of. This has to be part of your self-assessment in determining your financial picture. So loans to me, like I said, they're the devil. I know people are, they're evil. I know a lot of people don't necessarily feel that. There are things like, smart loans that you loaning money to buy real estate that you can then rent out for more than your payment. And I get all of the smart ways to do it, but we're talking about borrowing money so you can eat, borrowing money so you can pay the rent. You are in trouble if that's the case. Go on.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned credit card. Now, when people borrow money from friends and family, this is where you borrow money from friends and family, and usually they charge you interest. They say, okay, well, listen, here you go. Okay, I can only lend you this amount of money, but sure, you'll pay me back. I understand. And then now you are basically indebted to a friend or a relative for a certain amount of money. And then usually it's very difficult to pay that back because one, a friend and a family or a family member, they're not going to hound you.
Most of the time, that's true. Yeah.
Like, a credit card company will, but most of the time, not all the time, they will begin to avoid you.
Well, yeah. Because they don't want to have the conversation. And it's like an elephant in the room, right? You know you owe them money. They know you owe them money. And then y'all walk in and it's all uncomfortable because there's money. It's money. That's why they say you shouldn't do business and do loans between family members and friends like that. Because it does. Right. It causes this stress. And, one of the things I know, what rule my mother taught me years ago, sometimes it's worth it to loan somebody some money just so they'll never ask you again, right? Because it's like, it cost me $100 to never have to worry about that person asking me for anything ever again. I've seen it happen. It's happened with me. And it's like, it's okay. It happened with the guy who was doing some contract work on here. He had me do something funky for $250 extra so that he could charge another person more money and show them how much I paid. And he was going to give me the $250 back. Man, that was a year and a half ago. I have not seen that dude's face since. And I know he's been in the neighborhood because he's seen my wife. He's like, tell your husband I'm going to get in contact with him. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so borrowing money from friends and family, it's just not the way to go. It creates more problems and it doesn't address the issue.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't address the issue.
Emergencies come up.
Yeah.
And like you say, family will kick in. But, generally, again, if you really look at what you're spending, you're borrowing so that you can hit the hell. I've done it so that you can hit the club or go on that vacation with some friends. And sometimes it's, This happened to me very early in my, after I came out of college, where someone heard that you wanted to do something. That cruise, Dave, do you remember we went on a cruise with two of our other friends back in 1991? This was a long time ago. Show how old you are.
Yeah, I remember.
So I don't know if you knew this, but a coworker of mine loaned me the money to go on that trip. And I didn't ask him for the money. What happened as I was talking about the trip and said, man, I really would want to go. I just can't afford it. And out of the blue, in front of other people, he goes, I'll loan you the money. And
he just offered.
Yeah, I found out why. Like, that's a different story. But he's like, I'll loan you the money. And I'm like, really? Really? Dude, it took me forever to pay that guy back.
Right.
No,
see, it's not the way to go.
It's not. Just so, and that was, you know, and that was a case where I didn't even ask for it, which is even, you know, that makes it even easier, which is what these credit card companies and loan companies count on. They're going to send you an offer. They're going to accept it, and they're going to put the money in your bank account, and you'll wake up with a bunch more money in your bank account. And the first thing you do is go kick it, or you go buy something that you didn't need until you had this money.
Right, exactly. Right. So, okay. So, what are the next steps? We agree that it's very important to find out where you are, do a self-assessment as to where your money is going. What are the next steps? How do you do that?
So I think to that point, you can think about it, but until you write it down, it's not real. You have to document it. You have to sit down, write it out, whether by hand or on your computer. And, you know, tools like Excel come in very handy for that. So Excel is a great tool. It's great in that it's objective. It can hurt your feelings, though, because it does not lie. You scroll up and add up all those numbers, and that number that pops at the bottom as the total, it's real. That's really how much you spent on XYZ. There's no mistake. It didn't miscalculate. Right.
It didn't add incorrectly.
Excel's got that down cold. So, but that, I think, is the next step, is to document it so that then you can target where you need to make changes. Because it's very, like I said, it's very easy to go to the bar and spend $35 and not think much of it. 35 with tip, you're at 42, whatever, I don't know. It's very easy to spend, you know, $7 a day at Starbucks and not think about it, especially if you do things like load up a Starbucks card.
Yes,
I think that helps, again, to mask the reality, because if I put $50 on my Starbucks card and I go to Starbucks every day for a week, I technically haven't spent any money. I mean, I have in reality, but I haven't pulled cash out of my pocket and given it to somebody. I just gave them this card. That's why credit cards are so dangerous.
Right. And that's just an easy way for them for you to spend money without realizing you're spending money.
They count on it.
It's not cash. Right. It's not dollars going out. It's just a piece of plastic. You just swipe it and move on. It's very easy. For me, I think that, you know, from what I had to really realize is how much I'm spending on lunch every day. You know, there was a time where, you know, we had a small cafeteria in our office. And it closed down for a while, and I had to start to go out. And then I realized that I was spending, you know, $10 here, $15 here, and that adds up quite a bit. When you start to look at that monthly, you spend a lot of money eating out. And then sometimes you say, oh, well, I'll just go to a restaurant and, you know, spend $30, $40, $50 on a meal. Then you do that every so often. Well, then you find out that, wow, you're spending hundreds of dollars, you know, on lunch. And so you don't really realize until you actually list it out. Like you mentioned, you have to write it down. You have to see it on paper. You cannot memorize or get a feel for what you're spending. You have to write it down because your feelings can be wrong. You didn't realize you were spending that much money on lunch and gas before. What makes you think you're going to realize it now?
Exactly. You're hitting it on the head. You could think about it and be like, oh, I do spend, but you're not until you write. It's not real until you write it down and look at it. So I think, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And it, No, I was going to say it takes time. It does take time, but it's so worth it. I mean, you have to, because you in the beginning, you won't stop spending.
You're right. It's not an instant cutoff, you know, because you got to get used to the idea. Right. Now. I'm not getting that coffee every day, or I'm not getting the venti. Maybe I should get the tall or something like that. It takes a minute to reel it back. It really does. It's almost, I look at it as like as a pendulum swing. I used to think about this in my weight training and stuff like that and what have you, is that for as long as you let it go bad, it's the pendulum swinging one way. When you start to make changes, you still got to slow that pendulum down. So it's still moving the way you don't That's want right. it to move, right? You have to...
Yep.
You cannot. It does not stop and start swinging the other way or instantly end up on the other side. It is a process. And that process means, let me slow this pendulum down. Let me, reduce the deficit bit by bit and then start to see the pendulum swing the other way where we're starting to, make up some ground until we can get really back to zero.
So you mentioned... Right. So you mentioned the spreadsheet, which is an excellent thing to do. So everything you spend, you need to start tracking in categories too. $3.50, what did you spend that on? And then what I do, and it's helped me a lot, is I use my bank card.
Right. I was going to suggest that. I was going to say,
to spend. And this is on as much as I can, because it's tracked. I can go to my bank every once a month and then pull down all my expenses. And most of them are categorized. This was a gas expenditure. This was a Target expenditure. This was Juul. This was, the candy machine at the
office. No, absolutely.
I can actually track all of those things. And then once you dump it in Excel, you can, start to list the different categories. And then now you can get a good picture of where you're spending your
money. I was going to say that one of the steps should be an early step, if it's possible, to localize or to fine tune the tool you're using to spend your money. So if you're a cash spender, then you have X number of dollars in your pocket at the beginning of the month. But that's a lot more manual process because, like you said, there's no pulling down anything. And that's why cash can be, everybody says cash is good. But a lot of places I go don't even accept cash anymore. And I never thought it would get to that. My dad used to hold, as long as it says United States of America, they got to accept it. No, apparently they don't. In this day and age, with Square and way people can accept payments of small businesses using these tools, they're just taking credit. That reduces their liability on site as far as having cash that somebody wants to relieve them of. It's instantaneously, credited to their accounts. They pay a fee. It keeps the machine rolling. But for your own sake, to your point, having a card that you use for most, if not all of your expenses, that makes it super easy. And you don't have to do it forever, just long enough to get a snapshot of where you are today, and then being able to document that so that you can then begin the process of the targeting and reduction of expenditure.
That's right. And that card is not a credit card.
Okay. So look, give me your thoughts on that. No, that's a very good point. No, you're right. Because I know I've seen a speaker once talk about one of the best things you can do is get your teenager, as they're learning about finances, get them a credit card and not a debit card. And his reasoning was that any expenditures you make, are tracked. But more importantly, from him, it was a liability thing for ones you don't make. In other words, if somebody gets your debit card, that money comes directly out of your account. That's cash, your cash. Debit card is not a loan. It is money that you have that is being taken out of. Whereas a credit card, the liability lies with the bank until it posts and clears and you pay it. So, but that takes another level. If you're not eating or if you are struggling to pay your bills, you're not at that level yet where you can use a credit card Because that also requires that you're paying it off, because you don't want to be paying interest and spending. You know, a loan and credit cards are just ways of saying, I'm going to pay more for something I can't afford in the first place. And so I agree with you about that.
That's right. And to your point, I mean, at some point in the game, you may be able to use a credit card wisely, but it takes a lot of discipline. And like you mentioned, you have to pay it off at the end of the month so you don't get those interest charges. I have friends that actually use their credit cards for the points.
Yeah.
They put as much as they can on the credit card, you know, because they get points. And at the end of the year or every other year, they take a big family vacation on those points.
But they ain't carrying balances, and they're not paying 24% on the money that they spend, because that you think about it. The money that these banks are putting in their pocket, that's why it's so popular. That's why they continue to sell, getting credit cards.
That's why
the same credit card company will send me invitation after invitation. I'm looking right now at envelopes from Citibank, Discover, Bank of America, all offering loans or new credit cards, or, you know, you've been invited. That's another, so we'll have a credit discussion in more depth at another time. But the things that these credit card companies and loan companies do to make you think they're doing you a favor is almost embarrassing. But it works, because people want to feel important. They want to feel like they've earned something. And my goodness. And so, but yeah, so all that to say, I do agree with where you're coming from on the cash card as you're starting out, trying to get a handle of what you're spending. And it works as a good limiter too, because you only got so much money available on a cash card, whereas credit cards can be relatively, I won't say they're not unlimited, but I definitely have more money available on my credit cards than I have in my checking account right now. That is 100% true. I could go out and buy a whole lot of stuff on credit right now that if I had to use my checking account, I wouldn't even get through the door. So yeah, there's some built-in controls with that as well.
Right.
All right.
Very good. All right. So I think that bottom line, find out where you are. And you know, we've discussed the steps to do that. But be diligent. It's a long process, but it is so worth it in the end. So worth it.
The steps are definitely worth it. And again, it's frustrating for some folks because they don't have the patience. But man, the alternative of being, you know, quintessentially eternally broke, that's not a good alternative. Take the time. And spend the time to learn where you are so that you can move forward. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please be sure to visit our website at www.keepitpodcast.com. That's www.keepitpodcast.com. There you'll find links to websites and blogs related to building wealth and other useful information. You can also leave comments about our show and listen to or download all our shows after they air. Also, as a reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as financial advice, as we do not know your specific circumstances and are not your fiduciaries. Please consult with your personal financial advisor before making any investments or financial decisions. Thanks again. And we'll see you next time. In the meantime, remember, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.